There is a crisis in Burundi. You've got almost 100,000 people that had to leave their home and fled and left the country. We're talking mostly of women, children. And, of course, it has a disastrous impact for the neighboring countries and for these people because the number of arrivals continue to increase. People go to Tanzania, to Rwanda, to Democratic Republic of Congo, and these people need really direct support. And we're talking here of the needs for shelter, water, sanitation, health assistance. And you probably heard, and your auditors heard, that there is a surge of diseases and epidemics like cholera. So this humanitarian support is really needed to support these people that had to leave their country. And again, I insist, mostly women with their small children.
Will the money that the EU is providing be channeled through certain organizations?
Yes, I mean, mostly. These are the organizations working on a regular basis with ECHO, so it's the Humanitarian Office of the European Commission. So it's the usual actors we're using. It's usually sometimes the Red Cross, sometimes Médecins Sans Frontières, you know, all these type of international NGOs and partners we're used to work with in this type of situation.
With the latest contribution, how much money has the EU given towards the Burundi crisis?
We are releasing 3 million and we had already deblocked 1.5 million euros. So altogether, this brings the total of humanitarian aid for the region, because here we're talking of the Great Lakes region, to 52 million only for this year, 2015.
Can you outline the EU position regarding the Burundi crisis? Where does the EU stand regarding that political stalemate?
I'm happy to refer you back to the declaration of our High Representative Mogherini. She made through her spokesperson on Saturday. We're very clear. Situation is critical, and we don't want and can't accept the country to go back into conflict. So what we support, it's all the efforts from the African Union, from the actors, to achieve a peaceful solution to the political crisis, because there will be legitimate, credible elections where all parties can participate, only if there is peace, only if fundamental freedoms are respected, and these conditions are not met. So that's why we're encouraging all the efforts by the United Nations and regional actors to first stop violence and then go back into a genuine dialogue in order to find a peaceful solution.